Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Nail Podcast. This is season 5, and as you guys already know, I am talking to all the people I've met throughout the festive season, all your international friends, all your favorite faces, all the people pulling the strings behind the doors that you don't see. But yeah, so today's another guest. She's from SA. She's a DJ. She's an incredible person. I met her like 2 or 3 days ago or 4 days ago.
Oh, yeah.
And she's been an incredible person since. Okay. Do you want to introduce yourself? I feel like my introduction will be very limited, so you do that.
Sure. Okay. I go by Just Sid. That's like DJ name, but like if people are looking to find, I don't know, the government version of me, that's Boniswa Sidwaba. Yeah, I guess we're here to talk about music.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So guys, me Sid. But yeah, let's start off this way. How did you get into DJing?
I remember it quite vividly actually. So I have a friend. He owns a gallery, and they used to host parties in Johannesburg. There's a spot in Johannesburg called Kitchener's.
Okay.
So they were hosting a party there, and I think I was like one of the last people that were like left. And then for some reason, I just said, "Hey, can I play?" So
like joking.
Yeah. Okay. So it was like his USB, and then I just like went onto the decks to be like, okay, I'll just play the next song.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just left me there and he said, when you need to add or cue the next song, do this or whatever. And yeah, that's literally how it started. And then I moved to South Korea. I lived in South Korea for 10 months.
Okay.
And then during that time, I kind of started like making music.
Oh.
And then I moved to Beijing after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Beijing, I actually scored like my first official gig with like name on poster. So that was like 2017.
Right.
Yeah.
That's nice. You've been doing this for a while, like a little minute.
Is it a while?
It's not that short though. Because when you were getting your first gig, I was also just getting started as a DJ.
Okay.
I also got in 2017.
Okay.
And yeah, I've been doing it ever since. But yeah, let's just like unpack the journey. So right now we figured out how you did it in SA. How was South Korea like? Because it was definitely like a different market.
So South Korea wasn't DJing. South Korea is when I was like making music.
Right.
I lived in like a really small town in the south. It's a town called Daedok Up.
Okay.
I also had a lot of time on my hands at the time. I was doing like some kind of, I wouldn't say it's a scholarship program, but it's definitely targeted at like people that maybe like leave school and don't know what they want to do. And it's like a cultural exchange kind of project.
Program, okay.
But the purpose is to, you teach English and then they basically like just take you all around South Korea and you visit like different places. Really nice.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of time in my hands.
Yeah.
And also the place where I was living was kind of rural.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I started making music. And actually during that time, I recorded and released my first track with a producer called Kumza.
Okay.
So the track's name is Nothing Changes. You can find it on streaming platforms. It's there. So that was the first thing. And then when I moved to Beijing, that's when I started like DJing. I bought my first like
turntables,
like toy looking like controller. Because I was like using virtual DJ and I was like, this is not working for me.
Yeah.
And then I got like my first toy controller. And then I was like, I need to make the transition to like CDJs. And then I was like, found a studio just so I could practice in the studio and familiarize myself with CDJs until I was able to get like a bigger controller that looks a little bit more like a CDJ. So that's what I use now when I record my mixes and stuff. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Didn't DJ in South Korea DJ'd but in China.
Beijing.
Yeah.
And how was that?
It was great. To be honest, sometimes I felt a little bit guilty because I felt like the sell was more like the fact that I was foreign and the fact that I was like African before like the fact that I'm a good DJ.
So it was the kind of market where they were interested in your blackness before your craft?
Because definitely like there is a... There is a huge interest in like black culture.
Mm.
Like basketball is big, hip hop is huge.
Big, yeah.
So there is a little bit of that. But also I think just in general, like being an outsider.
Yeah.
But it's also in specific circles. So right. It's in specific circles where you meet people and they're really like curious and interested
to know,
you know, about where you come from, etc. Because the access to media is not as accessible in China. So yeah. But then I used that as an opportunity to become better. And like I took it seriously. I was like, because I would have conversations with myself about like, I can't take it for granted that I'm getting all these opportunities. Mm-hmm. Like I can't just, you know, be like, whatever. Yeah, so,
And I also saw that you landed like a radio residency on that side. How did that come about? Was that like when you were playing in like one of the sports and they're like, ooh, who's this girl? Let's get on.
So, so I did the DJing thing, but like at the same time, I was also like heavily focused on promoting and like hosting my own parties.
So you were like a promoter as well?
Yeah, I was a promoter. I brought some people over from Seoul. So a friend of mine has a label called Shade Seoul.
Okay.
So I brought them over. We did two tours, like multi-city tours. They were all like successful and sold out. I brought Tiger Paw. She's a US-based DJ. She just had a recent cover on DJ Mag.
Yeah.
So she her genre, if you were to kind of like summarize what she plays, is like techno.
Okay.
So I brought her. Who else did I bring? Yeah, I think those were maybe like the two main things.
Major
and then
ones.
Obviously like host parties with like people that were based
in
China. And the big thing about it as well was that I also wanted to have the platform for dialogue. So I wanted the party, but I also wanted the conversations about the music or
exactly.
the people
okay.
that come to the parties. And so through that way, I just like started meeting people and started like talking to different people. And so with Baihui actually came at the end of my journey in China. Actually came at the end. So that's like a mutual friend as well. Her name is Slow Cook. That's her DJ name. She's based in China as well. So yeah, that's her initiative.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. And it's nice to see that even though you were like an international person, you were received that well and you were still giving us many opportunities as they would give to like any other DJ in their circles. So
exactly.
Yeah. That's also nice to hear. But then I want to do two things. Tell me like your favorite moment since you started and your favorite moments since you started. Favorite moment in SA. Wait, first off, did you DJ as much in SA?
No, but I did have a come back home moment.
Right. Like when you were going back.
Yeah, for like holiday.
Holiday, okay.
I played at this festival. I think, I'm not going to say the name because I don't want to like get it wrong, but I played at a festival. A friend that she's got a label called Not Sorry Club.
Okay.
So she invited me to play at the festival and it was amazing.
Yeah.
Like that was also like...
That's such a cool thing.
Yeah.
To come on holiday and do a festival.
Yeah.
Such a cool thing.
Yeah.
How did that feel for you? Were you nervous?
Yes.
Very.
Yes. And how you can tell that I'm nervous is if you see me like this the whole night. That's usually how I am, just because I'm like so focused on like not messing up. And then sometimes I even forget that I'm actually playing like
right.
a really nice tune
so
that
you,
I like.
We'll get to that. But then when you were playing a couple of days back, a front back, you, a lot of times I saw that you were like,
yes.
Very. I mean, as it went on, you loosened up a bit, but we'll come to that. So there was that moment, okay,
yeah.
of the nervousness in SA as well. Nice. And so then was that like your favorite moment DJing in SA so far?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in Beijing?
Beijing.
Surely the sold out tours have to be one.
Yes,
but then you didn't DJ at the tours.
I did, but I wasn't the highlight and I wasn't trying to be and I wasn't necessarily... I was playing so I could fill a slot
okay.
to make sense for my balance sheet at the end so that I didn't have to, you know?
Yeah.
So I wasn't really like focusing on the playing. I think actually my highlight was not in Beijing. My highlight was in a city called Chengdu.
Right.
I played at the same club like quite a few times. I think... maybe the first or the second time that I played there, I had like a really good set. I think also like I haven't always been as confident about like my DJing capability. I know that I have good taste in music. I know that like the things
Very.
That I listen to
Very.
Are good,
mm-hmm.
but there's a difference between like what you listen to and then how you curate and piece together and map together. and then how you're able to use the tools to help you do that, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, like, I think when I was in Beijing, I was still trying to, like, maybe I was, like, individually practicing, like, each of those things, like, listening to more music and then, like, curating and then, like, getting used to, like, the technical. But now I feel like it's starting to come together a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I feel like, okay, now I'm clearer about, like, the composition of, like, sounds. Because I play a lot of different sounds, but that doesn't necessarily always work.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding, like, where that balance is. And, like, with the technical, I'm also, like, happy to, like, not try to know every single button on the CDJs. I don't feel like I have to.
To be fair, you don't have to.
Unless someone tells me that. If someone says it's required, and, like, then maybe I will...
Okay.
Definitely still, like, some more things that I want to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Yeah, that's on the...
Right.
Talking about, like... Yeah, so yeah. I haven't always been as confident as, like, a DJ.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, but coming to the front back set that you played, that was one of the best sets of the night. I didn't tell you this on Friday because I felt like we were all a bit excited, but... I think I can tell you today that it was one of the best sets of the night. It's right.
Though.
No, it's not. Honestly, there's no bias because it's right up there with Guilty Beat sets as well because he had like the very good set. Do you understand? So
yes,
it's like you coming just behind him and you played four different genres that in your sets. So I'm like, I was standing there with Kanya. If you don't know, Kanya is one of her friends. And it's like, did he just switch up again? So, like, we kept having, like, those moments of, wait, this is no more piano. Like, it's something else. But, like, okay, keep going. And you kept giving.
I did tell you that, though. Remember, like...
Yes, you did. And you were skeptical.
I'm scared now because... Yeah,
of how it was going to sound. But I'm like, no, you've got it. And it actually turned out good. So, it's like, it's a testament to the fact that you have, like, incredible taste. And your palette is kind of wide as well. So, like, that... I didn't know how you were going to bring it together. But then I'm like, whoa, that sounds... Okay. That sounds quite amazing, to be fair. And then, what has been, like, that set you didn't enjoy?
A set that I didn't enjoy?
Yeah. Like, everything was fine, but
there's so many. There's one, actually. I was playing at this club in Beijing, and then I get there, and it's a whole different mixer. And right. I'm like, okay, how am I going to do this now? I think that set was challenging. I can't remember what the mixer was, but it was supposed to be like a better one and like just better for sound quality. But I was just like, okay, now there's another thing that I don't know and another thing that I have to figure out like on the spot. And then I'm sweating and then I'm worried about like, is my music making sense? Because I don't know how... much people speak about their processes of like creating set lists. So before I would lean more in the direction of just creating folders with mass sounds.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm more in the direction of creating like a specific track list, but maybe not trying to go from like 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6, because if you're doing that, then you're not really, I guess, expanding. Working with a crowd.
Yeah.
Before, I think I was a lot more, I have my folders, I know what they are, so I'm just going to pick. Clear. But I feel like that didn't necessarily always work in my favor,
because
I would default to the songs that I know, and then my sets would kind of start sounding the same. So that's where I feel like I may have felt like some uncomfortabilities, like in those moments where I know like I'm not doing the best that I can.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have like a third thing that throws you off.
Yeah.
Like a new mixer. Thank you.
That you don't know about. And you're like, wow.
Exactly. And it has like, instead of having high mids and lows, it's got like high, second high, mid, second mid, you know?
I see the mixer you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand. I understand why you didn't mention it. But yeah, that's confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So that was the set you didn't enjoy. But then, do you see yourself like, taking it more seriously and like going
definitely up
there?
Yeah.
Is it because you're more confident in it now?
I think it's that. It's a little bit of like, I feel like I'm more confident, but also just a little bit of like, it's fun. Like, I actually really like it. I enjoy it. It's like really fun.
Yes.
So I'd like to have more fun. Yeah. If I was feeling like, if it was feeling painful till this day, I think I would have maybe let it go. But it's starting to feel like fun. I'm starting to feel like, okay, I'm making progress. You know, I just need to like keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
In Oprah's
That
words,
makes sense.
With her recent post on Instagram.
Right, but then I also see that you have like a lot of tattoos. Are you like a tattoo person?
I guess so. Yeah, I am.
That was a very interesting question. I'm like, are you a tattoo person with all these tattoos?
Yeah, exactly.
Do they have like specific meanings?
Some of them do. Yes,
actually. And some of them are what, just vibes.
Okay. So this one is like a globe with hearts. I think I was just in a phase of like, let's all just love each other and spread love.
Right.
But this is also like a. It's like an adaptation of my Moscow Small Good logo.
Okay.
So the Moscow Small Good is like the globe and then it has those letters. So I think, I was chatting with a friend about like how Moscow Small Good is also just about like connecting with people. So wherever I go, like it's a bucket list like action if I meet a woman and we both play music and we're just sharing like a similar story. So yeah, kind of like that thing. Like you'll find your people. So that's that one. This one is a snake. So this one is like, you know, the Nokia snake game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sometimes your own like stuff can
bite you.
Yes.
Right.
This is like you thinking yourself into, I don't know, like creating your own chaos with your own actions.
Yeah, what's that? I'm kind of interested in that because that's kind of simple, though.
This one.
Yeah, but it looks so cool.
This is the
vein.
It's a poke, firstly.
Okay.
This is supposed to be a plant.
Right.
And then this is a broken heart. Yeah.
What plant is this?
I don't know. It's just a plant.
It's just a plant.
It's just like a plant. But the plant is like feeding the heart.
Right.
It's like nourishing the heart. This broken heart is not that deep. It's just like sometimes you have a broken heart. It happens. It's part of life.
Have you had a hard time with people?
People?
Yeah, that break your heart in that sense.
I think I've had a hard time with like me having my expectations not met or being disappointed.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I think that happens normally though, no? To most people.
I mean, I don't expect much from people, so so that puts me in like a corner where I don't need to expect anything from anybody.
Okay.
If you do it, great. I'm going to appreciate it, but in my own stead, just to guard myself and like guard what I get out of a situation, I choose not to expect too much.
Okay.
But yeah. Because that's really how I live. I try to be as self-sufficient as possible. So then that doesn't put too much reliance on, like, other people and other people doing things for me. Because even as a DJ, like, before people would book me, before I became who I was probably today, I would, like, I'll still put my events together. I'll still organize my stuff. If I don't have, like, a specific event or, like, if I don't have, like, a budget to throw a big event, I'll call my friends to my room on campus in school and just, like, yo, just come chill. Let's just get drinks. Yeah, I want to play it for you guys. I don't care. If you enjoy it, cool. If you don't, I still did it anyways.
Okay.
So then that like generated and grew into me meeting people looking forward to hearing from me eventually because they began to like it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's nice. Now let's get like venues. Let's do stuff. Yeah, so it's like that's how it developed for me. It was fun, though. It was tedious sometimes. But, yeah, I still wouldn't trade it for anything. So, yeah, it was an interesting thing. But then one thing I also noticed when you played was that you were very interested in the female sets that played and you connected with the number of them. Is that back to your globe idea?
Yeah, I mean, it's also just like if you see someone that looks like you doing the same thing you're doing, that definitely means that that person is going to be able to share something with you that's going to like either help you make sense of like something that you...
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't know or whatever. So definitely like that's definitely always a thing, like, you know, meeting other black females or even like women who are dope,
mm-hmm.
who are fun, who are nice, who are doing like cool stuff. It's, yeah, it's obviously like a plus to have that.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, first of all, I'm hoping to see like more female DJs, because earlier this year I met Maxwell at an event and I'm like, bro, the women, they are the next big thing. Like, the women are coming. He's like, yeah, it's true. Because you see these little pockets and these little events, like, it was like when in April, so like 8 months down the line, we see events and we have female headliners as DJs. Like, you see, like, there's a main female DJ on, although there are other men, yeah, that's cool. But it's like, yeah, the women are also like making a case for themselves. So it's like, that's also interesting to see. So what would you say, or what advice would you give like any woman or lady who's interested in like picking up DJing? Because, you know, the women always have it the hardest starting. Because either they're... So there's two sides to it. Either they don't get people to teach them or mentor them, so then they have to do it by themselves. Or the people they approach eventually get interested in them somehow, and that fucks up the whole thing. Because why are you interested in me? You're supposed to be teaching me, not pursuing me. Yes, like that.
Okay. I mean... Actually, like, as you were speaking and you were saying, like, it's a little bit harder for women. I don't think, there was obviously, like, the rhetoric, right? The mm-hmm. rhetoric of, like, you know, women DJs, female DJs, etc., which I get and understand. But I also feel like if you think about that too much, it's almost going to, like trap you. And yeah. then, you know, like, something might happen for any other reason, and then you'll maybe attribute that to, you know, being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, actually, I would just pretend I'm a man, actually. Like that's what I'm also trying to do in 2023.
Right.
I'm trying to channel male energy, because, like...
We're both.
Literally. So I'm just going to be like, I'm here. If I mess that transition up, oh, well, you're still here. That's literally, like, sometimes you have to do that.
Yeah.
Like, because no one's going to do that for you.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to do that for yourself, even if you're pretending, until it actually becomes, like, you know, norm.
Yeah.
So I would just say, if you want to DJ, do it. Like, go online, Google stuff. I didn't have a mentor.
Mm.
I just, like, I literally, like, watched YouTube videos, and I used my little toy controller. Like, that's how I did it. I didn't have a mentor. I had friends who DJed, and I would ask them questions here and there. But yeah, like, just do it. Do it. Like, go onto YouTube, Google, read as much as you can. Find like women DJs that you like. Read up about their journeys. Listen to this episode of this podcast.
Yes.
Like, go to parties with female like DJs or women DJs on the lineup. Chat to them. You know.
Yeah, that's lit. What is your favorite genre to play the most?
I want to call it club bass. Mm. But I actually, because like if you look at the genre tags, you get like world. It's this type of music is usually like labeled as world, or you'll maybe see like Amapiano feature there.
Yeah.
But I think we all know that the people labeling the music are not necessarily always labeling the music right.
Correctly, yes.
So for me, like if I were to like put it, I don't know how many people know like Gafachi, but
yeah, Gafachi is like, big on this side.
Yeah, so he's sound. Mm-hmm. That's
drum
the
and bass.
Sound. Is it?
Just drum and bass.
Just drum and bass.
Or like house. Like techno house.
I don't know. You see?
Yeah.
And then
no,
like,
also because he produces different things. So
okay.
Every song of his is like, it's still all in like the house and like the dance
and like
category. Yeah, the heavy stuff
yeah.
category. But yeah, like individually they would have like their different stuff. You know, for saying that, I'm going to put a Gafachi track under this episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait,
and
on
I'll
what?
I'll put yours. I'll put your music as the intro and I'll put Gafachi as the outro.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because we have the shared interest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. But so that sound, mm-hmm. Bright. Do you know Bright?
Bright.
And he collaborates with like Mina.
No, I don't know that.
Okay. So
but
he's,
yeah, you put me on scam.
He's like a Ghanaian
okay.
artist as well. His music is also like, it kind of like sounds like Gafachi.
Right.
And then if I were to choose a genre, I think I would say Gom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you like the heavy stuff?
Yes.
Ah, right.
Yes, I do.
Because, funny story, when you were playing, so I have a friend called Frankie, he's also a DJ. He was a frontback, and when you were playing, like when you started playing the Qom sets, like the Qom songs, he's like, bro, she's playing some hard Qom.
Yes, I play hard.
Like, and I'm like, yes, she's going in. At this point, we just knew that, yeah, you had peaked and you were like killing it at that point. And he was like, yo. Like he was just standing there the whole time. He was like, yo.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, she's killing it at this point.
Yeah, I'm definitely like a, like 124 to 126. That's my range.
Right.
Yeah.
So people are burning in your song.
Hey?
People are burning.
Yeah.
Yeah. People are burning.
Oh, no, I don't.
By Q.
How you're going to have to sing.
People are burning. People are burning. I'm going to play after the episode for you.
Yeah. Play for me.
Yeah. What? So how would you react to like Ama Piano taking over the world? Like reaching new markets? How would you react to that? Because you're from SA. It was Qom at the point. It was house at the point. It has been like a lot of different sounds from there. So how do you feel about Ama Piano also emerging as one of those sounds?
It's cool. Because I mean, like at the end of the day, that's also because, you know, at some point people will want to write about the music, people want to interview people. And so for me, it just feels like that's a chance for South Africa to tell its story, you know? Mm. So it's definitely exciting. I mean, I think the fact that like every time I go to like Nigeria, Lagos, or now that I've been here and you're sitting in a club and all you hear is Ama Piano is also like, I left home.
But I'm still home.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's nice. And what would you say about the gatekeeping idea of behind piano? Because it's like when people outside South Africa do it, it doesn't sound as authentic as like the homegrown sound.
I mean, like if you start something, right, and especially like something like music doesn't feel like it's something that should be contained.
Yeah.
Just like by virtue of the fact that like you make the music, you play it for people, you want people to listen to it, right? So why would you not want people to make interpretations of it? I think it's important to acknowledge where like the bass comes from, but I think it's cool if people are interested in, you know, making their own versions and making their own interpretations. But I would definitely just make sure that I'm acknowledging the source, you know, and also just make sure that I am understanding the source so that I can, you know, create from a solid bass.
Yes.
Yeah, because I don't know where, like, I mean, I've heard that there might be, like, a little bit of beef around, like, you know, the ownership of Ama Piano. But I don't know what the behind-the-scenes incidents are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand.
I don't know what's, there's stuff I don't know about.
Yeah.
So there's that aspect as well. So I can't, like, automatically judge and say, no, like, that doesn't make sense for, you know, you to be doing that. But yeah, I think in general, like,
it's important to give like that credit to the source of what you're doing.
Yeah,
do it properly, like, at least.
Afro beats, everyone knows where that comes from.
Where does it come? Actually, where does it come from?
I don't wanna, cause as I was saying, I was like, can I just say it comes from a certain part of? It comes from West Africa, does it not?
It does.
Yeah.
I wanted you to be a bit more specific, but fine. I'll take West Africa. Okay. Let's save it. Yes, save it. Because the backlash. But yeah. So that definitely makes sense. But yeah, Sid, we've had like an incredible conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
When is this going to be out?
In March.
Okay. Oh, that's a while.
Because I'm on a break. The podcast is on a break. The network is on a break.
Oh, okay.
So they're like, relax. Because we had a hectic year in 2022. Like, there's so many things we did. So.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're on a break. It will be out in March. I'm happy you killed your set in Ghana. I'm happy you had a first time a great experience DJing in Ghana for the first time.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah.
And thank you for like sorting the headphones out. And like taking my bag and making me feel like a star.
You are a star.
Walking me down the stage.
You are a star, right? I had to do all of that. I had to.
I really appreciate it.
I had to do
you.
All of that. I had to make sure you were good. You and your friends were good. So that is important to me. That's the Ghanaian hospitality they talk about. But yeah, before you go or before we get off this episode, please drop your socials and where people can find you.
On Instagram, _just_sid_. You can find me on SoundCloud under the same name, Just Sid. You can find some of my music on Apple Music and like playlist under Just Sid as well.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'll be dropping some new music soon. I'm really excited about that.
Do we get to preview it?
Yeah, actually, it's possible.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'll get that.
But offline though.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, yeah.
No problem. No problem. All right, but so thank you for coming on. I'm really grateful. And yeah, I'll see you sometime.
See you soon.
Bye.